Well, she loved her son more than anything. She feared him dying more than anything. But then her worst fears were realized. Her son stopped breathing. His body went cold. He died. And with him died any hope she had left. Lord, why? Why did you take away the one I love the most? There's nothing left for me to live for now. There's no point to life. All that is left for me here is suffering and pain. What worries us today is that this story fits not just one, but two widows in this morning's texts. And we know this isn't the last time that this exact scenario has played out. Perhaps it's happened to some of you. And barring Christ's return, it will happen again. The funeral procession marches ever onward, waiting for someone to stop it. The worst part is that the death of those you love bring the entirety of God's law down on your heads. The widow in Zarephath said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son." It is in the death of loved ones. It is precisely there that you remember your sin. You're haunted by the words, if only I could have, if only I would have. And you wish desperately to go back. Maybe just change one thing or fix the part that you got wrong. Do what you should have done. But of course, it doesn't work that way. And the weight of it all is more than you can bear. Because it's more than just losing someone you love. If that were all, then waiting till the last day, the day of resurrection, wouldn't be that bad. Yes, you'd miss them while they're gone, but you could wait. That was Martha's point with her brother Lazarus when he died. She said, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." But then she also said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Lord, if only you would have done something, anything, then I wouldn't have to face the weight of my own sin next to this grave. I wouldn't have to remember it day after day." I mean, is it any wonder that our world refuses to face death head on? I can't count the number of times as a pastor that I've been told by family members they don't want a funeral because they don't want to have to deal with the death of their loved one. I've even been told by those who have a loved one who is terminally ill, not even to mention death. Don't even talk about it when you're in the room with them, because they think that as long as they can avoid talking of death, it won't come. They won't have to face their sin. They won't have to feel that weight. They won't have to be at the head of the funeral procession like the poor widow at Nain, having all those people looking at them. But that day, it's inescapable. It's coming, or it's already come, and it never goes away. There's their sin, and it's together with their death. No matter how much you want to stop the funeral procession, it marches on, day after day, year after year, life after life. You might hide or try to avoid thinking about it. You might try shifting blame. You might just try to bear the pain that it brings. But no matter what you do, death always brings the law of God to bear on each and every one of you. The law always accuses. The law always shows your sin. And that law brings you to tears. For that law is the beat to which death continually marches. But that's why our gospel lesson is so important. Because on this day, outside that small town of Nain, the eternal funeral procession stopped. It stopped to make way for Jesus. As Jesus drew near the gate of the town, behold, there was a man who had died being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep," or even "Stop weeping." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. Well, this is great when you're reading the story, but when you're living this, or you have lived this story, you critique Jesus. Why did you even let the funeral procession start in the first place? Why did you let the boy die, Jesus? Send the angels, watch over him, heal him, keep him safe if you need to. We know you can do that. You've done it for others around that time. Well, Jesus could have done it here too. But no. This time Jesus comes too late. This time the widow had already lost all hope. This time death had already claimed its prize. The wages of sin is death, and the law had done its job. Now this widow had to look back on her sin and this death for the rest of her life. Except, Jesus speaks. Young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak. Isn't that interesting that Luke refers to him after his resurrection as the dead man? He doesn't call him the widow's son or the young man, not the resurrected man, but refers to him as the dead man. There's no question as to the identity of the one who is speaking. He's the one who is dead and is now alive and proclaiming. Almost as if one had to be killed and resurrected in order to proclaim the work of Christ. Then Jesus gave him to his mother. Again, Jesus is always giving dead and risen people to mothers. Be it John to his mother Mary, or you to your mother, the church. But in the end, this was more than Jesus having a little compassion on a poor widow. This was more than giving her a pep talk about, we have the hope of the resurrection someday. No, this was Jesus taking away every would've, could've, and should've. This was Jesus putting an end to the endless looking back. This was Jesus forgiving the widow's sin. Forgiveness is the one thing that stops the funeral procession forever. Forgiveness is the one thing that makes death obsolete. Forgiveness is the one thing that keeps the law from destroying you every day. Forgiveness is what wipes away your tears. Forgiveness is what Jesus gives to you. And that forgiveness had a high price. Your forgiveness cost Jesus his own life. But he didn't die in order to pile more sin upon you. He didn't die to add to your guilt. He didn't die so that you could wish you could go back and do better. Jesus died in order to take it all away. The law is fulfilled completely in the death of Jesus. Sin is blotted out utterly in the death of Jesus. Death's constant march stops at the death of Jesus. And that death is given to you. Do you not know that all of you who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? Of course, this isn't the same way that the widows in our text received Christ's forgiveness, but it's how it's come to you. But do you even know what that means? Jesus isn't just waiting to give this forgiveness to you. He's already done it. You are baptized. You are forgiven. And even if you forget, Jesus hasn't forgotten. Christ not only reminds you of your baptism again and again, he gives you that forgiveness over and over again. Death has been overcome. But even more, your sin has been overcome. In baptism, Jesus stops your funeral procession. And Jesus takes your hand, and Jesus gives you the same word that he gives to the widow. Do not weep. Stop weeping. And Jesus isn't giving you these words as a mere platitude. He doesn't say them to make you feel a bit better in the face of overwhelming sadness. He doesn't say them to get you to think about the day of resurrection in the future. No, these words are for today. Stop weeping. For your sins are forgiven, every single one. Because that's the only thing that carries you to tomorrow. That's the only thing that gives you the hope of resurrection. That's the only thing that could ever make life everlasting worth it. You are a baptized child of God, and you are forgiven. Forgiven for what you should have, would have, or could have done. forgiven at all the places that you kept looking back. Forgiven for fearing, loving, and trusting that something or that someone above God. You're forgiven at all. Indeed, you still mourn when your loved ones die. But with Jesus, everything changes. Because with Jesus, you can see the way the world really is. See that there's nothing in the world that the world can do to you, and no one that the world can take away from you. As St. Paul says, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because in that love, through his cross, by his resurrection, you are forgiven all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit."